Good morning. It's a fine morning out there this morning. So before I start into my talk, I will just want to say that I'm not a preacher. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I like to tell stories. And I think last time I spoke was 3 years ago, and it was on a testimony, and I told my story about my accident. And this time I'm going to be using some of my past experience, scriptures, a couple of devotionals that I came across, and I was reading them and I thought they'd be fitting topics for today. So as Pastor starts out, the date was 1967. The place was Ralston, Nebraska. And my dad felt this calling from God to go into the mission field. So Dad quit his job. He had a good paying job at an electric company. He built this big trailer that was going to be large enough to put all our belongings in it, hooked up this fairly new Chevy, blue and white Chevy Suburban. It's a 65. And we headed north to our village of maybe 200 people. So in this picture, you'll see that this is not the newer blue and white Chevy Blazer. Or not Blazer, but I kept calling it a Blazer. My sister corrected me, it was a Suburban, but Suburban Blazer thing. No, Dad sold that Suburban. Then he went out to a friend's farm. He went way out into the pasture, and he dragged this green beauty out of the bush, and with his faith in God and his trust, we journeyed to our destination. There were a few minor mishaps along the way, and you could actually see the road through the floor. That was awesome. But at 10 years old, that was my first actual experience of someone stepping out in faith. My first lesson. The reason I say that it's my first actual lesson is because back in Sunday school, we actually heard stories about Jesus and about followers that really stepped up and showed their strong faith and how powerful it was and how strong they were for God. Some of the stories I'm going to share, I've referred to them as kids' stories, but you know what? Some of these simple little stories are actually the ones that are easy to follow, and they bring out the point that you're trying to get across. So let's start with David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel, we read about David and Jesse, his dad, had sent him to bring some grain and some breads to his brothers and some cheese to the commander. And we know that while he was out there, he came across Goliath, and Goliath was taunting the They wanted him to come and fight. And David heard this and he thought, well, you know, I can fight this guy. No one else is going to do it. I can do it. So he went to Saul and he told him that he could do this. And he tried to tell him that, no, you can't. And he said, well, I may be a shepherd boy, but I took away my flock, my sheep, when the wolf or a bear took that. I went and took it out of his mouth, basically with his own bare hands, but he said it was because God was with him, and God helped him to defeat those animals. So he said, God will deliver today. And when David went out with his little sling and his stone that he put in there and hit the giant with it, he brought him down. And so on that day, God was victorious over the Philistines. Let's look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I always found that story very intriguing because, especially after my accident, I know how hot things can get when you're burnt. And it's to see these three men where they end up. But you know, they too, they had this strong faith in God. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he made this gold image. And he said that we're going to have the sound of instruments, and when you hear that, you've got to come out and bow down to this golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to stoop that low, because we have a God, and he's the only God, so we're going to keep serving him. And so the problem was, if you don't bow down, then you're going to end up in the fiery furnace. And they said, that's fine. So they ended up in the furnace, and when the king came to see, he realized that there was four people in the fire now, not three. The angel was sent to protect them in the fire. And afterwards, the king decided that, you know, they put their life on the line for this God. So he's got to be a very powerful God. And if they're going to put his trust in him, then from now on, we too will only serve the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There will be no other gods. And then we look at Daniel in the lion's den. I know our grandchildren like to hear this story, and it's one that I know we're all familiar with. And Daniel's in the same situation. King Darius he wanted to put Daniel in charge one day over the land, but there was people against him. The men were against him, and they tried to find a way to get rid of Daniel. And so they watched him, and they could see him praying, and there was a decree out that you should not pray to anyone but the king. And Daniel wouldn't have that. He only prayed to God. So eventually they said, well, we have to throw you in the den of lions because you're disobeying. The next morning, the king ran to see if Daniel was still there, and sure enough, he was sitting amongst all these lions, and God had shut their mouths tight, and Daniel was safe. So once again, the king said that we would only pray to the God of Daniel. But it definitely shows how strong their faith was, how strong it would be. And they had total faith in God. Even though their lives were at danger, they didn't stop them. They stood up for what they believed. I want to share a quote with you. For a while at COVID time, we were watching the Hour of Power with Bobby Shuler, and he always had a quote up, and so I'm going to read it. I'm not what I do, I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say I am. I believe I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. So how strong is our faith? How strong was my faith? I want to take you back a few years when I was in the youth group. Our leader used to take us door to door, and we would share scriptures with those that would open the door for us, and we would share scriptures, and it felt really good to share what the gospel said. But then time passed and I got older, and I wandered away from God. But my parents were missionaries, so they had a lot of friends. And they prayed and prayed until I came back to God again. A while before my accident, I felt this need again to witness. But I had a hard time confronting people. So I prayed that God would bring them to me. At this time, I was also bidding on jobs to get out. I was hoping to be in the Winnipeg area somewhere, because we had talked about there's no universities or colleges back then in Thompson. I think there's a college there now, but we wanted a better place for our kids to have that opportunity that we didn't have. So I wanted to move, and well, that wasn't working out for us. And once again, I came to God and I prayed that, you know, God, if it's meant to be, then you would open the door for us to move. If not, we'll stay here. In less than a year, I had my accident. And we were moved to Winnipeg. The education door was open, and I had people coming to me now, which opened the door for sharing the good news about Jesus. So the opportunity was there, but I still struggled, and it made me question my faith. There were definitely areas in my life that needed changing, and I knew God could help with that, and He's willing to help you also. So driving was one of those barriers between myself and God. But before I totally commit myself on this one, I'm going to share a little story. So a little girl was riding in the car. She was in the back seat, mom driving. They were driving along, and finally the little girl, taking it all in, she kind of, "Mom, why are there no idiots on the road?" She said, "Excuse me? What do you mean?" She says, "Well, when Daddy drives, there's idiots all over the place." Well, telling the story, the drivers out there, that was a big thing for me. I can be driving down the road and sometimes it's because I'm in a hurry and I'm getting frustrated already, and then the drivers are out there and they're cutting you off or they're honking at you and you don't know what's going on. And there was times when I would get quite upset, and I knew that this wasn't right, but I kept doing it because I'd say, you know, God, I got to quit doing this, but I would keep doing it. So finally one day I was driving along and I finally just said, you know what, God, just take this wheel. I'll let you deal with those drivers and let me just focus on you. And you know what? It worked. It definitely works. I had a peace came over me, and I was able to carry on my ride focused on Jesus and not what was going on around. So finding these little imperfections and bringing them to God, that's what draws you closer to Him. Whatever we have, whatever it is, we have to let it go and eliminate them one by one. And then let Jesus' Spirit fill you. I'm going to share as one of the devotionals, share a bit from that. And it was from The Invisible War. And it's the missing ingredient in your battle against sin. You can do everything right and still not defeat a sin. You can read the Bible every day. You can pray. You can have a group of friends around you. You'll speak the truth in love to you on a regular basis. And you can still be trapped behind habitual sin. At the end of the day, you can't depend on yourself and what you do to defeat sin. You need the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit enables and believers to do what they can, what they can't do, and fulfill God's desire for their lives. So you can have all the right equipment to defeat habitual sin in your life, but it won't matter without the Holy Spirit. Imagine you're walking on a beach and you saw a dead seagull that had died less than a minute earlier. If you picked it up, it won't be much different than its live counterparts. It's still warm. It'll have the same muscles, bones, feathers, and wings. But if you toss it up in the sky, it'll drop back down to the ground. Why? The seagull has no life left. The life isn't in the feathers or the wings or the bones. It's life. It's in the life God puts in it. Without a spirit, the bird won't fly, even if it had all the right equipment. So you can have all the right equipment to live a successful, victorious life, even if it, but without the Spirit's empowering, you can't live that kind of life. It's like throwing that dead bird in the air. You can't live the victorious life of Christ on your own. It's impossible. Your best intentions and your too easily broken promises won't enable you to live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit has to live it through you. This summer, I was in, took part in a Bible study on the Holy Spirit. And going through the scriptures and having discussions, it really opens up your mind and your heart to let the Holy Spirit fill you. One of the other devotions I was doing, and it just spoke to me, it was on prayer in Jesus' name, and it has the bull moose principle. So every fall, a group of male Alaskan bull moose gather for dominance. During their breeding season, they literally go head to head, their massive antlers crushing together as they collide and attack each other. Sometimes their antlers, a moose's only weapon, gets broken in the fight. Without antlers, defeat is inevitable. In the end, the moose with the biggest and strongest antlers is the one who triumphs in battle. Here's what interesting about that is the strength of the moose's antlers comes from a healthy summer diet. So when the moose is continually eating, once fall arrives, the moose can do nothing anymore to strengthen his antlers. So the battle, which is to be fought in the fall, has already been won in the summer. The moose that consistently eats the best diet ends up bringing the strongest and best prepared for a guaranteed victory. Those that don't prepare by eating well end up with a weaker antlers with less strength and are ultimately defeated. There's a valuable lesson for we as believers that we can learn from that example. Spiritual battles will come our way. It's inevitable. Our adversary, Satan, is constantly on the prowl, looking for the opportune moment to attack. You can't escape. You can't ignore it. Satan's goal is to make God seem small and very, in every situation, appear unsolvable. John 10:10 says that our enemy is lying in wait, ready to steal, kill, and to destroy. John 44 says he, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning. The devil wants to destroy your family, attack your health, crush your career, and kill your dreams, and strip away your worth. The question is, will you be victorious or will you end up walking away in defeat? Just as the moose needs to be in a constant state of preparation for a battle, by eating food that will build up strength, we as Christians need to be in constant state of preparation for our spiritual battles we face every day by building up our strength through continual prayer, obedience, and meditation on God's word. It's not easy, though. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us that to stay alert. Watch out for their great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So how do we stay alert? By praying. In the days of the early church of Acts, the disciples discovered a key spiritual principle that is true for us today. We will give ourselves continual to prayer. They knew that they couldn't afford to grow weary and discouraged in their prayer life because spiritual warfare was always brewing. Here's the good news. When you're in constant state of being turned into God's hearing, believing and obeying what he's saying to you, he will lead you to victory. In fact, he even assures our victory. Romans 8:31 says that if God is for us, who can ever be against us? In 37, it says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. So winning the battle is as simply as asking the captain of the host what he wants you to do and then doing it. In order to fight and be victorious, we need the heavenly strategy, his playbook. We need to meet with him, and not only receive the battle plan, but to receive strength. 2 Samuel says, you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. There is no substitute for spending time with God through our prayers and getting into his word. There's no other way to win the battle. As you engage in prayer, ask God for his strength and wisdom he has already given you, the authority to trample on the serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19 says all you have to do to access that power and authority is stay connected and abide in him. As you remain in him in prayer, nourishing your spirit, God is bulking up your antlers, preparing you for a day that you come head to head with your enemy. I'm going to read some scripture from John 15:1-7. And it says, I am the true vine, My father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that you do bear fruit so that you will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. I want to share a quote with you from Robert Morris. And he says, when it comes to dealing with a fight in a natural, often the best choice is to just walk away. But you can't do that in the spiritual. Whether you want to or not, you are engaged in a spiritual fight. But here's the good news. God is in the fight with you. Just going to end my talk with a prayer from the devotional. And I actually took a copy of this and put it on my fridge, because I was hoping that if I could begin my day praying this prayer, it would help me to have a better start on what's going on. So it says, Father, thank you for showing me how to prepare for spiritual battles by listening to you and developing my strength through continual prayer. You have provided the weapons I need to defeat the enemy, just as Jesus defeated him through the cross. Your words say that I am not unaware of schemes. Thank you for your giving me your direction, strength, wisdom, and power to defeat Satan and his forces. Help me to remember to ask you what you want me to do and to always hear, believe, and obey you. Thank you that I can be fully confident of the outcome because you have given me your heavenly strategy. In Jesus' name, amen.